The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
To Remnant Church. Good to see you all. Praise the Lord. Welcome if you're visiting, welcome if you're new, and welcome if you're old. It's good to see all your faces. I always like to look at everyone's woken, risen, bright eyes this morning. Everybody's awake, right? I always like to say this and tell the person you're with this morning, tell them, are you ready to hear from God? Now answer them, I am ready to hear from God. This morning, God is going to speak to all of us, even the little ones. God's going to speak to the teenagers. God is going to speak to the little 10-year-olds, little kids under 10, little babies, and adults. I believe God has a word for us, all of us, this morning. I'm enjoying this series on fractured fairy tales. And a lot of these fractured fairy tales do not end well. And I call this one the Gingerbread 5K because I want to talk about the Gingerbread Man. How many of you know the story of Gingerbread Man? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you, most of you. I didn't know it. As a little kid, I was always outside running around breaking windows. I hardly read in my life, and as I grew up, I learned to read, and now I can't stop reading God's word, amen? So let's pray for this message and this service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come in right now and just saturate our minds, our souls, and our spirit, God. Help us to hear from you this morning. Father, whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we pray, God, that you would just move in our hearts this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys awake? Okay, you're going to be awake here in a minute because there's two reasons and I'll tell you why. See how I kick gears right away? This is all the Holy Spirit. There's two reasons I'm always pumped and excited almost every day. And I'll tell you why I'm excited right now and pumped. Two reasons. First of all, because God is in my life. And God is moving in my life. I don't know about you. Amen. Give him glory. He's moving in me. And I'm excited what he does. And it pumps me up. And the second reason, well, I've had my coffee and a jelly-filled donut. Thanks to my father-in-law, he brought a whole box this morning. We were setting up. All of them were jelly-filled. I didn't know which one I wanted, so I wanted to grab them all. But he touched them almost all, so I can only get one. I love jelly-filled donuts. Anyways, so I'm pumped. And we're going to read out of Titus 2, 1 through 10. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, reads like this. Tell believers to live the kind of life that goes along with accurate teachings. Tell older men to be sober. Tell them to be men of good character, to use good judgment, and to be well grounded in the faith, love, and endurance. Tell older women to live their lives in a way that shows they are dedicated to God. Tell them not to be gossips or addicted to alcohol, but be examples of virtue. In this way, they will teach young women to show love to their husbands and children, to use good judgment and to be morally pure. Also, tell them to teach young women to be homemakers, to be kind, and to place themselves under their husband's authority. Then no one can speak evil of God's word. Encourage young men to use good judgment. Always set an example by doing good things. When you teach, be an example of moral purity and dignity. Speak an accurate message that cannot be condemned. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed because they cannot say anything bad about us. Tell slaves who are believers to place themselves under their master's authority in everything they do. Tell them to please their masters, not to argue with them or steal from them. Instead, tell slaves to show their masters how good and completely loyal they can be. Then they will show the beauty of the teachings about God, our Savior, in everything they do. Amen? This covers a lot. It covers an area there in the home about the husband and the wife and the children. And towards the end, it talks about slaves. It's actually talking about all of us that have a job. Be honest and be a hard worker for your company. If your boss is a non-believer or believer, it doesn't matter. You should be loyal to your employer because God gave you that job and he provides for us through that. Amen? And this morning and these past few weeks, these past few months, I've been observing people, myself, my home, families, reading on the internet of what's going on in our world. And what I'm finding is that Christianity, those that believe in God, is not matching. And I had to say that because God's been on me all week to say this. Our walk is not matching with God's word. And that ties me to the gingerbread man. And I say that to say this, simply because the gingerbread man was made by this little old lady. She was hungry, so she made this gingerbread man. And what happened as soon as she opened the stove, the oven? He took off running. And she chased him. Come here, I want to eat you. I'm hungry. Gingerbread took off. He was laughing. Try to catch me now. I'm the 5K runner. You'll never catch me. And there goes the husband after the gingerbread man. He couldn't catch him. Come on, old man can't catch this gingerbread man. Running. And he ran across the farm there, the ranch, and there's a farmer with a pitchfork trying to catch him. Couldn't catch him. Then he passes a pig and a cow and so forth. And he ran, man. Nobody could catch him. He just laughed at everyone. Kind of like us. We're just running from God and running to other things, thinking it's cool, it's okay. But it's not. What happened to the gingerbread man? His fairy tale ended pretty bad, didn't it? He was getting a little tired and still laughing at them way back there. But there was a fox watching the whole ordeal. He just waited for him. And the gingerbread man gets tired, comes to a river he can't cross, and they're coming. Says, they're not going to catch me. I'm going to do whatever it takes. They're not going to catch me. I'm going to run. Fox comes out with his nice big tail. This is his tail movie. Hey, buddy, what's up? Well, you know what? See all those people over there and animals trying to catch me, they can't catch me. But now I got a problem here. Can you help me out, buddy? Oh, yeah. Hop on my tail. I'll take you across. So, yeah, he trusted him. Got on the tail, and there they go across the river. Fox is smart and hungry. Get on my back. We're kind of drowning here. We're going down. Get on my back. Okay. Gingerbread man gets on his back a little closer. They're almost getting across. The fox goes, I'm still kind of going down. We're almost there, but get on top of my head now. We'll make it. So he gets on top of his head, gingerbread. Sure, I'll get up there. I'll trust you. Then they're almost to the other side. The fox says, you know what? Get on my nose. We're not going to make it. Just hop here, the tip of my nose. That'll get us that last oomph to get across and get on land and get out of this river. Okay, the gingerbread trusted him. Gets across. Get on the land. What's the first thing the fox does? Flips him over and eats him. He ate him. Not a good ending, is it? There's two things at the end of this fairy tale that I try to tie into my life and to people's lives. You're either the fox or the gingerbread man. We can eat each other up with words at home, at our loved ones. We can be like that fox. Just eat up each other with words. Not even a care of how they feel, what you're saying to them. You see? Or you're like the gingerbread man. You're just running from things, running from God. Listen, I kind of woke up with a little headache this morning. My wife's knee's been out. She's having some knee problems, and she's here. We can have some physical issues. I totally understand. But take that up with God. People tell me their excuses, their reasons. I'm good with that, but I want to match it with what God says. Let me tell you something. Jesus' body hurt when he carried the cross. He had a headache. I'm sure his knees were all tore up. His body was in pain. But he said, no, God, I love them. I'm going to carry this till I die. He was faithful. He said, your will be done. But we're a people that don't want to quite follow with what God says. And sometimes we say, you know what, God, that's pretty good, but my will needs to get done right now. You don't understand. Right now, God, you don't understand. Yes, he does. Yes, he does understand. Let's not be like the gingerbread man or the fox. Amen? See, God did create us to have pleasures, but there will be conflict in our homes. We all have conflict. Probably half of you already had a little discussion coming over here. And it's okay. It's okay to have conflict. And I'll explain why as we go. But we all go through conflict at home with our partners, with our kids. Oh, our kids. When you're going in the car, they're fighting in the back. You're trying to swing at them. Cut it out. We're going to church. And then you scold one of them, and the other one's looking at him. The little one goes, Mom, he's looking at me. Don't say that. He's looking at me. They're kids. Amen. Conflict. Sometimes it's good for us. We can learn something from conflict. But God did create us to have pleasures. But let me say this. God didn't create us to have pleasures and put him second or third or forget about him. There's nothing wrong with pleasing yourself. But don't put God second or third. He should be up front, in the front, first, on your mind. And we will fall short with God when we run after pleasures. Tell me, man, I was a pleasure seeker all my life, seeking to be this greatest drummer, this rock star, having all the girlfriends, the right car, the right clothes. It was a lie. I'm happy with beans and rice and Jesus Christ, as I always say. Amen? It's not about self all the time. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And he wants us to have pleasures. But listen, our flesh is in constant conflict with self. Look at Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." You see, teenagers, you need to listen to your parents because they've been there. Little kids, listen to your mom and dad. They've been there. And parents, be fair with your kids. Listen to them. I'm going to put up some principles here a little later on the screen that could probably help us with conflicts at home that I know most of us are having. But don't be like the gingerbread man and run from them. Don't be running from them. Because your flesh is going to fight you. Oh, mommy, but I want that toy. You're dragging them out of the store. Be quiet, come on. I want it. I want that toy. No, little ones. Your mommy and your daddy will buy for you when they can. They love you. But there's times you can't get that toy. Teenagers, there's sometimes you need to listen to your parents and stay home when they stay. Me and as adult, we have an instinct. Sometimes we can read your friends. Not to be judgmental, but we know their parents and their family. And parents, it's good to know your children's friends and their families. I learned this from the hard way with my girls growing up. So God showed me, learn to meet their parents. What are they about? What are their beliefs? Where do they stand? That means a lot. Because if you don't follow that, you will have conflict. You will have conflict. But the flesh, oh, I want it. Please, mommy, I'll be good. No, you won't. You just want your toy. And this is the funniest thing. You buy them what they want. 2 or 3 days later, maybe a week, it's just thrown there. They don't even use it anymore. We're people. You see? We want something else now. Be happy with what you have and be happy when God gives you when he can. Pleasures will mislead you. And I'll say this flippantly for all of us, including myself, but I'll clarify my reason. Pleasures will mislead you. Why do I say? You know what I see? This guy sees now lately. People on screens all the time. Walking, eating, in the restroom. At the movies. My wife and I go to the movies sometimes. And I love that one clip where they have where the kids are on their screen and there's a big screen for them to watch. They go to the movies to take pictures and selfies. You're there to watch a movie. Kids. Wait, but I'm texting someone on FaceTime or Facebook. I don't do none of that, so I don't even know what you call it anymore. I just text, that's it. I don't do Facebook. I hardly email Jeremiah, only to send them the PowerPoint. But we talk a little bit. I spend hours in front of a screen, be it on my phone or be it at work. Half of it in my work time, it is work. And the other percentage that I have, that little window, those windows you have, I'm looking for scriptures. Some of you are texting me about biblical questions, about things you're going through, and I'm reading, searching. Once in a while, yeah, me and my wife shop for blinds or for whatever. But we don't let that be our desire or pleasure. It's just a need. We needed some blinds in our living room, so we searched it on the internet. So if you're spending tons of hours in that screen, but it's not about the Lord, you're going to have conflict. God gets jealous. He's jealous for you and for me to spend time with Him, at least a little bit more time for Him. But we have these good reasons and we justify them. And they don't go with God. They don't fly with the Lord. You need to come clean. You need to give Him more time. Because if you don't, you will have conflict. And when conflict comes, this is a big one, folks, and it happened in my home. When conflict comes in those moments, you're kind of disagreeing with someone verbally, don't bring in hate. This is where a lot of Christians, a lot of people fall short. We get angry and then we hate. You know, there's a difference between hate and conflict. I didn't know this till I studied it. Conflict, all it means is a strong disagreement. You know what? You like your braid, but I don't like your braid. And that's okay. I don't have to hate her. You're still friends on BFFs. She's still my friend. We can still be friends just because this braid should have been on the other side, I think. I'm kidding, totally. But see, but if I said, oh, I hate your braid. It looks so ridiculous. I'm bringing in hate. Hate is a passionate dislike. See the difference? You can have a disagreement with someone. Sit there and discuss it and have some conflict, but don't bring in hate. Hate will tear you up. Then you're carrying it around. Then you run into your friends or your neighbors or someone, and you're trying to smile, but you just had a battle earlier with a dad, a mom, a friend, whomever. And we carry it because we choose to. Don't bring in hate when conflict comes. There is a difference. See, human hate hardens hearts and dries up our faith. Human fleshly hate dries up your faith and hardens your heart. And I say this because it's in Matthew 24. Jesus said it. Matthew 24:10 says this: then many will lose faith. They will betray and hate each other. It's right there. Oh, but wait a minute, Frank, that's out of context. If you read that whole book there, that chapter, it's prophecy. Yeah, it's being fulfilled. Homes are in conflict because they're hating each other. And Jesus said it would happen. But the difference is we're learning. We can make it change. We can make our homes better. We can make self better through Jesus Christ and through His Word. He will change your attitude. Give Him a chance. And some of us get stuck because we're too busy serving our pleasures. Oh, but I gotta get this done. I know you do. I work all day, but I squeeze in time for the Lord. I'll sneak in some prayer time at work. I always run to the warehouse and hide. You know that. And I do that because I need to be with God. There's times I need God. And I go get alone with God. Almost every lunchtime, I go in that warehouse and pray. I need God. I'm not just praying for you. Pray for me. I need it too. I don't want my flesh to lead me. I love a lot of things. I love physical action too. I broke a stick earlier. I was so into the music. Hey, what happened here? I was just so passionately worshiping God though. I didn't care. Just grab another one and keep going. You got to keep going. Don't bring in hate. We will betray and hate each other. And if you go on to read there in that chapter, verse 12 is not in the PowerPoint. It talks about lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. That's two verses later after this verse, verse 12. The love of many will grow cold. Don't you see that in your home sometimes? Our love can be cold. And it reminds me of our men's study at Mike's house. As we're going through the Pilgrim's Progress, we got to a chapter that I loved, that it described us like a fireplace. You guys been in the fireplace? Nice and warm. Throw some wood in there, honey. It feels good. In the winter? In the winter, not in the summer. You'll die in the summer if you light your fireplace. I've been in front of fireplaces. I don't have them, but I've been in there. They're awesome. The fire's kicking. It's warm. the book in that Pilgrim's Progress describes us as a fireplace. And the more wood you put on it, what happens? It gets hotter. It lights up. It lights up the room. It soothes you. And in that same book, it says that the enemy, the devil, comes and throws water on you to turn you off. And the Holy Spirit is standing right by that fireplace and says, you know what? You can try all the buckets of water you want. This is my child, and they believe in me, and I'm going to back them up. But see, if you're serving pleasure and self, the Holy Spirit will be there, but you're going to weaken. And you're going to let that water turn your fire off for God because of those pleasures, because self comes first, and that's where you will fall short. When you don't come clean with God and your loved ones. Amen? Are you still smiling and loving me? I am. I don't want to bring in hate. We're just having some conflict right here with God's word. And it's hitting us. The word of God says it pierces coming in, coming out. It cuts us in all directions. I love you, but it's getting deep, bro. It's good. It's good that it cuts deep. We need it. We need to shake off all that dust. Wake up, like Victor said earlier. We're not the only church. I believe many churches are drying up. They're falling asleep because of self-pleasure, because of conflict, and then they bring in hate. Homes are in shambles because of hate, not conflict. My home was full of conflict. See, I hated my parents growing up. Teenagers, I hated my parents. I have two sisters here that saw me grow up. Very violent, very aggressive. Cursed at him, and I left at 17. I ran as fast as the gingerbread man. I passed by him. I took off because I knew what I was doing. I'm 17 now. Mom and dad, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing, mom, dad. I'm smarter than you. I'm out of here. Oh, yeah, I've heard about that green grass. I'm headed that way, buddies. I'm almost there. Guess what I found out when I got to that greener grass on the other side? All those pleasures I heard about and they told me was all lies. It just brought me nothing but problems and struggles and conflict with hate. It didn't stop there. I get a girl pregnant at a very young age. And another girl later on. I didn't know. They didn't tell me this part. Now I have a home, marriage, get married. Are you kidding me? Kids? I didn't want none of that because I didn't know God. Because Frank was trying to be that rock star drummer in the world, seeking pleasure first, me first. That's what drove me all the way away from God, the wrong way. You see the difference? I was okay, but I was in darkness. I was lost. I needed a savior. I need something to wake me up. And it took his word. And I ran. And it wasn't very pretty on the other side. What all my buddies told me. It was a lie. And I have this home full of hate. I used some verbal abuse on my partners that hurt them. Very hurtful words that I'm not proud of as I spoke to my partners in the past. Hate and conflict. There was no God in my picture, in my life, or in my home, let alone a Bible. It was ugly because God wasn't in the picture. Young girls, you want to find you a guy that loves Jesus. Oh, but he's so cute. But does he love the Lord? He can look cute in the outside. Let me tell you, you'll get to know him as the years go by. Girls, this is a big tip for all you young girls. They're looking for a boyfriend. I did it with my girls and it worked. I go, you like a guy? Okay, hang out with him. Go with your friends. Do whatever you guys do, the mall, whatever. Get him angry at you. See how he treats you and talks to you. Get him angry at you. There's days my wife kind of pushes my buttons very rarely because we don't fight, so we pretend fight. But there's moments, and all I want to do is please her. I don't want her mad at me. Whatever she does, I'm just going to adapt and like it anyways. But there's many guys out there that are just going to walk all over you and laugh at you, girls. Because a lot of times, half of those guys want one thing, and you know what it is, and we don't need to go there. Boys, contain yourselves. Contain yourselves, guys. Respect the girls. I hear young boy teenagers how they talk about you girls. It's not nice. Like a piece of something. And I was the same. I wasn't any different. Any one of you young boys want to come talk to me after this sermon, come talk to me. I'll show you scriptures. In Corinthians, it says to the young boys, be patient. Love is patient. Don't rush it. Wait. Get to know her. Get her angry and see how she acts. Because you can have conflict in a relationship and a friendship, but you don't have to hate each other. You can get past it and move on. You see, teenagers? It's important to get to know them. Because later on, it's going to be too late. You know, this one that gets me. This one gets me. Marriage today. Oh, we can have an annulment. Let's sign the paper. In case it doesn't work out, we'll divorce in a month. What is that? That's not of God. His pact, his covenant, we profess before God and the church and all your family and friends there is till death do you part. We're so quick to run. We want to run from it and think it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. You need to change your ways. You think you need to get into God's word and run to the Lord, because you will have conflict. And we'll run to our pleasures first. Remember the fox. Just try to remember the fox. He thought he had it. He had it going on. I got all the girlfriends. I got all the clothes. I got the iPhone. But that fox is going to bite you in the end if you forget about the Lord in your life, in a relationship, in a friendship. A lot of teens today make friends, and the next day they hate each other because of whatever. That's not of God. Amen? Even the disciples had conflict. Look at Acts 15. The apostles had conflict. They argued. Acts 15, 36 to 39 says this. After a while, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back to every city where we spread the Lord's word. We'll visit the believers to see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along. However, Paul didn't think it was the right to take a person like him along. John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. Paul and Barnabas disagreed so sharply that they parted ways. Barnabas took Mark and him and sailed to an island of Cyprus. Here's Paul and Barnabas, great brothers in the Lord. Barnabas led Paul to salvation. He led him to the Lord. And they did a lot of ministry where they were. But then they had other ideas, and Barnabas wanted to go this way, and Paul wanted to go this way, and they had conflict. But you don't see them hating each other here. The only reason Paul didn't want to take John Mark, because there was a time in the scriptures, if you read it, that John Mark didn't want to follow through with what Paul wanted, what God wanted to do. So he didn't want to work with a John Mark anymore. So Paul had another way, and the Lord was leading him in another way. But there was no hate there. So you can have conflict. Strong disagreements, but don't bring in hate. See, they had problems too, just like us. They just didn't hate. So how do we handle conflict in the home? How do we handle conflict in the home? This is for the wives. Wives, be careful not to intimidate your husbands. Remember, you're responding emotionally, and we understand rationally. It's right there. It's right there. We don't even have a clue sometimes what's upset you, even after you've told us. Wait a minute, what are we arguing about? There's times I look at my, wait a minute, baby, back up, rewind. Please forgive me. Now I'll listen. We're so bad, guys. And they're emotional. We're rational. I know, honey, 1 + 1 = 2. But no, honey, it's the way you're saying it. What? 1 + 1 =? No, you're saying it all wrong. See, they're emotional. We're rational. You guys, try. 1 + 1, honey, is 2. I don't know, whatever it takes. Be emotional. Feel with them, guys. Teenagers, respect those girls. Girls, check them out. Wait a little bit. Get him angry. See if he's a fox or a gingerbread man or a true man of God. That was a good one. I don't know where that one came from. First, check if he's a fox or a gingerbread man or a real man of God. For all ages. This is rated, what do they call it? G? All? Everybody? I'll call this one rated A. Everybody. All. EA. Everybody all. Adults. Don't be the gingerbread or the fox. Be a godly person. Let's practice these things. How about the husbands? No one's getting off the hook this morning. We're all going to get it. Ouch. Husbands, don't just look at your wife when she's talking. Listen to her. I think it was a couple of years ago on the Super Bowl commercials. There's a couple at a restaurant or having dinner, and he has his phone right here and under the table, and she's talking. As she's talking, it's the newscaster talking, coming out of her voice. Not a word is he listening to her, but he's looking at her. Once in a while, he glances down. We need to listen. Get excited. I have to stop. There's times I tell my wife, turn on the song, turn the music down or whatever's going to distract me so I can give her all my attention. She'll tell you. And I'm listening, because I'm a drummer. I'm listening, Bob. I know you relate with me. I'm listening to a song in the back. I go, honey, lower it down because I can hear you, but I hear drums coming out of your mouth. I want to listen to her. I want to be interested in what she's telling me so I can work with her and grow with her and be closer to her and be her best friend. If you're married in this building this morning, your partner, your wife, your husband is your best friend. That's who you should confide in. That's who you should come to. That's who you should pray with. Little ones, talk to your parents. Tell them to pray for you. Mommy, Daddy, I had a bad day at school. Little Sally called me a name and I wanted to whack her in the face. Did you hit her? No, Mommy. Okay, good. Let's pray for her. Kids, ask your parents. And if they're not praying for you, tell me on Sunday. I'll talk with them. I'll give them a timeout. Okay, little ones? I'll talk to your parents. Parents, pray with your kids at least once a week, but I encourage you to do it every day. Before they're going to school, honey, real quick. Oh, God, just protect my child in Jesus' name. Pray for your children, man. There's so many homes. When I was young, we would just run out of the house, but my mom had a reason. There was 9 of us. She lost count sometimes, went through, okay, so you guys, there's too many of us. Pray with your children. Children, this is for 4 years old up to 18 in this room. Children, be honest with your parents. That's a big one with God. It has nothing to do with you, young ones. Be honest to your parents because God knows everything. He hears you. He sees everything you're doing. And when you're honest with your parents as you grow up, you're going to be a good moral person. And God's going to give you good things and lead you in good paths. And he'll move all those bad things out of your way if you want those bad things out of your way. Because when I was growing up and a teenager, just like all of you, I was going down this path. And I made some friends that took me down this path. And I thought it was cool and it was wrong. I never listened to my mommy and daddy, and I should have. Now they're proud. They're happy. Dad's with Jesus a couple of years now, maybe 3. But they saw the new me. God let them see their new son, how he loves God. What a privilege. Children, be honest with your parents. You can't hide it forever. They're going to find out. They're going to find out. We're parents. We're going to find out. Sooner or later, it's going to float. Yeah, you are busted. Matter of fact, go in your room for a week. That's another one. We're afraid to punish our children. I'm afraid how they're going to act. What? You're the parent? Give them a good one and send them to the room. My prior wife made me spank my 14, 15-year-old at the time. And when I didn't want to spank her. Biologically, she was in my daughter, but I raised her. And my wife was hot, and they were in a heated moment. And my prior wife kept saying, take off your belt, spank her. So I took it off slowly. I didn't want to spank her. I mean, I loved her, and I was trying to show her a good daddy. I'm standing there, and she goes, spank her. Okay, her head almost spun. I go, okay. And I turned around. Guess what the little one tells me? 14-year-old girl. She's a beautiful daughter. She's doing good in El Paso. Bless her heart. I wish she was here. She turns around and looks at me with a smile. You know what she said? It's not going to hurt. Oh, really? So I was nice. I'm right-handed. This is our power stroke. If I just used my left, gave her one good one, just one good one, with most of the strength I had. And she looked at me for 8 seconds, and then she went down. It broke my heart. But we need it. We need it. Some of us need to get spanked. God will wake you up. It's going to hurt, but it's good for you. She's married now, married a border patrol. She's in El Paso. I have a grandson. They're doing great. And she always texts me once in a while with scripture, with things she's going through, sends me pictures. We stay connected. She's going to church. I don't ask her. She's been telling me all day, we went to this church and service was good and da-da-da. I'm not going to push it on her. She's an adult now. She knows what she does. But right now, if you're living in your parents' home, you need to listen to your parents, young ones. They're going to lead you in the right way. And if they're not, come see one of us again. We'll give them time out. Parents, sit down and talk with your kids. Hear them out. They're humans too. They're someone. We need to, as hard as we can, sit there and hear them out. You'll never know what your kids are going through if you don't get to sit there and hear them out. And young ones, if you have a parent that's really not that way, come talk to me. Come talk to Jerry, Jeremiah, any adult. We'll hear you. I know some of us are hurting. Mom and Dad didn't have time for us. We're too many again. There was 9 of us. And once in a while, they'll sit us on their lap and show us love. I know love because of my parents. I'll say this again. I never heard my dad curse at my mom, slap her, yell, throw anything. He was real quiet, and they would leave to go argue. That's what I remember about my parents. But today's kids are seeing so much at home, and we wonder why they're all messed up. It's because what we're amplifying, running to pleasures and misleading them. Listen to this. Learning to talk, listen, and understand is hard work, but it's rewarding. Learning to talk, listen, and understand is hard work, but it's rewarding. It will reward you. So here we go with some principles of how not to have conflict in your home. Here are some principles that I put down. A, first one, we all guilty of this one. That's why I put it first. The silent treatment. I'm not going to talk to you all week. Make your own dinner. And you guys are walking by each other at home. Give each other the look. Or turn the other way. Go around the other hallway. Go around the front door, the back door just to get to your bedroom. Jeez. Come on now. The silent treatment. Oh, that's a good one. I did it a lot. I could not talk to my prior past partners for weeks. I was like a mime. It's sad, though. I'm sure she wanted to talk or ask me something. It was brutal, and I'm not proud of it. And we're guilty of it. Things of not to do or how to handle conflict in your home. Do not use a silent treatment. Do not hold grudges. Woo, we're all guilty of this one, too. Remember the other day what you told me? Mm-mm. I'm not going to forget that one. You figure it out. We hold grudges, man. But mommy, you said, you were misbehaving. Hold grudges. Don't do it. Next one. Don't go off on each other just anywhere. Kids, but I want that toy. In the middle of Walmart, all turning red. Be quiet. I'm going to slap you here. I see it all the time. But what gets me is, what is this kid hearing at home? I know families in general, in all ethnicities, and I can tell the parents that are at least semi-moral and have dignity values because their kids talk like adults. They act like adults. You know, my little girl, my biological daughter, she lives in Brawley. She's an older girl now, as a woman. She was 4 and 5, and we were struggling financially. Every time we went to Walmart, to groceries, she understood because I started her real young. I'd be walking with her to the store, and I go, Mija, when we come into the store, mommy and daddy don't have enough money. We just have enough for the bread and the milk this week. But when daddy and mommy have money, we'll buy you that toy. So we're going through the store, and guess what she would say? She would say, Daddy, I'm going to want that one, okay? I know you can't right now, but I'm going to want that one. Isn't that cute? She's grown up now, and that's different, but we all grow up eventually. That was so awesome because we taught from little. Dad, I'm going to want that toy when you have money, okay? Oh, that would break my heart. So I made all my efforts I could that week to get her that toy the following week. We'd sometimes sacrifice something just to get her that toy because she was a good little girl. But today's kids, man, go to Walmart one time. You hear it? Put your phone on video and just walk like this. That's all you guys do anyway. Just look, observe. But what are they learning at home? Don't go off on each other anywhere. We've seen couples fighting in parking lots. I have. You can see them leaving and their hands are swinging and yelling at the lady and the wife's yelling back. That's not right. That's not good. Next one. When you're having conflict, don't attack each other. Attack the problem. That's a good one. We attack each other and the problem's kicked to the curb. You forget what you're even fighting about. You're fighting about something else that happened last year. Attack the problem. No, honey, let's settle this. This is the argument. You go off somewhere else. Next one. Do not accuse each other, but describe how you're feeling. It goes on. The next one. When in conflict, stay on the subject and don't bring other stuff in. Leave your in-laws out of it. Leave that friend out of it. Leave your uncle out of it. Leave your dog out of it. Between you and that person, settle it morally, with dignity, without hate. Next one, offer solutions without circumstances. And this is here's an example. Would it help to keep our bedroom neater if we move the clothes hamper into the bedroom? Better said, right? How will we say it? You never pick up your stuff. Everything's everywhere. Don't you see the hamper's right there, 2 feet away? Well, you put it in there. You're closer. We do that. And this is a big one. Don't ever use these words. You never or you always. You never do what I tell you. You always see the wrong things. That's going to bring conflict. I'm guilty too. I used to do that a lot. And my wife is witness. I check myself before I'm going to tell her anything. I want it to come out right. I'll rewind myself sometimes. I'll tell her, let me rewind. And I'll tell her again. And she's humble enough to give me a second strike. Don't use these words. Next one. Do not use comedy to cut your spouse. Humor can be vicious. Wow, honey. That dress. How's it fitting now? Right? What about you guys? Gee, honey, the side of the car, the tree was pretty close, huh? We hurt each other. It's vicious when you cut your partner down. There's a fun, moral way to do it, but don't make it hurt. Amen? It can be vicious. Next one. When you are wrong, admit it. And say it. And mean it. You know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this to you. I really mean it. Do we do that? How do we do it? All right, I'm sorry. Jeez. Man, I'm not going to do that again. Whatever. All right, I won't do it again. Oh, we're one of those, right? I don't know which one you are. But I was a lot of these. I was all these. Mean it. Next one, when you're right, shut up. Why argue? You're right. Not, I told you so. I knew I was right, huh? Ah. We do that. That just adds to the fire. You're bringing conflict in between you, and then you're going to make the other person hate you. Fuel to the fire, man. I told you I was right. We all say that. I'm practicing so hard not to tell that my wife anymore. She'll do something in the kitchen or whatever. I'm trying to help her. Like, and I'll just sit there. And just yesterday, she was doing something. And she goes, okay, fine, here, you help me. Like, yes, it works. And I'm standing there. I'll always stand next to her when she's struggling. A jar she can't reach, something she can't do. I'll just stand there, like elevator music. Just waiting. A lot of times, she can do a lot of stuff. But I want to be there for her. And I don't open and say, I told you so. I could do it. You couldn't. I'm the man. I don't do that. I open and sometimes I do struggle. Here, honey, here you go. Your knight in shining armor. That's what I want to be to her. Shining armor for her. That's not happening in a lot of homes. The next one. When you ask for forgiveness, forgive immediately. Don't bring it up anymore. We're guilty of that one. Right? Remember the other day? I thought we talked about it. No, we're going to talk about it again. But it's been forgiven, not me. Still here. You got to forget it. You know what forgiveness means? Forgiveness means in that minute, I forgive you, it's forgotten. you shouldn't bring it up anymore, because you're just going to add to the conflict hate. Just forget it. Next one. Do not dominate the conversation, men, and don't interrupt when others are talking. Let your partner finish what they're saying. I was guilty of this. We'd be arguing or discussing, and I wouldn't let her finish or my children finish or explain the reason why they were late that night. No, go to your room. I would cut right in on them. My partner would be telling, no, you were wrong. Get out of here. We don't let them finish. Let them finish. Hear them out. Next one. And do not look at each other with looks that kill. I see some of you, how you look at your partners. I'm trying to have a mean look. I used to have a mean look. These mean eyes that just pierce through them. And I look and look, gosh, Lord, forgive them. Look at each other with love. With, I'm trying to understand. But we look at each other with these eyes of razor beam. You're chopping their heads off sometimes. That's not of God. You need to stop that. If this is taking place in your home, you are inviting trouble in, and your home is going to fall apart and have trouble. You're going to have divisions, and it's going to go on and go on and go on if you don't rectify some of these do-nots and make it right. And do the opposite of what I just shared with you. So it can match with our Christianity. So it can match that we're running to the Lord and not away from the Lord. It needs to match. We need to work in these areas, folks. We're all guilty. Look at Mark 3:25. Jesus said it. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. My home in the past before Christ was ugly. It was awful. There was a lot of yelling and cursing and lying. It didn't help. It wasn't good. But when Jesus came into my life and into my partner's life and into my children, man, the home environment alone changed. The atmosphere changed. The way we spoke started changing. The way the house was maintained started changing. The way we treated each other started changing. Did it happen overnight? No, it was a process. And it's a process we will go through day by day, but you need to work on these important values and principles to make it work. So quit running to fill those satisfactory, temporary pleasures. It will get you. And let me say this. A lot of people run to these pleasures knowing it's going to cause problems, and they do it anyway. We know it's going to cause a problem, but we do it anyway, and it's wrong. The Holy Spirit is telling you right there when you know, oh, I better not do this. I don't care. I'm going to do it. The Holy Spirit is telling you, don't. That's what that is. When you think and you know it's wrong, but you do it anyway, the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't do that. That's what that is. Don't let temporal satisfaction eat you alive like the gingerbread man. Many people today are getting eaten alive like the gingerbread man did. Even the bread that God sent from heaven was temporary. The manna that fell, it was just temporary to get them there. But God had a better plan. You know what his better plan was? He gave us an eternal bread. And it's right here, John 6:35. Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never become hungry. And whoever believes in me will never become thirsty. The word bread there in the Greek is pronounced artos, which means properly bread, but figuratively, you know what it means? Divine provision from God for his believers. Jesus is the bread we need in our homes. His word, his character, his attitude, and life. It's pronounced zeo in the Greek, and it means this, both present physical and future spiritual existence. Those without Jesus in the home and eating from this bread of life, we will not get to that eternal experience with Jesus Christ. So if you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to make it in. And your home is going to be in turmoil. You will have conflict with hate constantly. And if we bring this bread into our homes, trust God, not me, trust God, your home will change. And some of you maybe have been doing it, but it's not working because you're not being persistent. persistent is important with Jesus too.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.
Amen. Give glory to the Lord.